The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy.
Welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassard. I'm co-host Rob Jorb. We are coming to you from the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM in Commerce. You can also get us worldwide 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at WJJC.net and Whisperin951.com. Now, when you visit those two internet platforms, it's better if you go through a computer or a laptop, something like that. Sometimes the phone does not give you the full experience. When you do go, make sure you check out the locally produced programs page. Now, there you'll find World in Crisis, and there you'll find our archives, which has the last three or four programs there for you to listen to at your leisure to give you an idea of where John stands on biblical prophecy and how it's being played out in today's headlines. Also, there's a couple of programs there that are embedded. Those are very, very important. We encourage you to listen to those as well. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We're so privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is peering into the abyss. The clock is ticking, and this world is on a collision course with the judgment of Almighty God. There is an escape hatch. It's Romans 10:9, and if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You can choose life through Jesus Christ, or you can choose death and hell. That choice is yours. I pray this very night that you would receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and pass from death to life and life eternal. Rob?
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree, and I would just add that this program is part of the Watchman on the Wall Ministries, and as Watchman on the Wall, we're here to warn you, blow the horn, let you know what's coming down the line, but it's up to you to decide what you're going to do with that information. And as John said, there is an escape hatch. His name is Jesus Christ, and believe me, he is the only way out. There are no multiple roads, a single narrow road, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, before we get too deep, John, let's go ahead and do the quote of the day. Everybody seems to enjoy that part of the program.
Apparently so. Our listener response is strong. And tonight, the quote comes from the great patriot Patrick Henry. Quoting, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here." Unquote. How we have fallen from the beginning.
Absolutely. If the founding fathers were to somehow wake up and look around and see what they had wrought,
well, they would not recognize
this country.
But absolutely bewildered, I suspect.
Yeah, absolutely would.
And of course, we're at the end of the age, ladies and gentlemen. And so what you're seeing all around you should be expected. Jesus Christ declared to the disciples on Olivet, when they came to him and asked, "What will be the sign, singular, of thy coming and the end of the age?" His response was immediate. He said, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." Spiritual deception is the calling card at the end of the age, Rob.
And the thing about it is, and we're not a political show at all. Don't get me wrong.
But just to
follow up on what John said there with deception, there's deception in every level, whether it's
correct,
the secular level or the spiritual level, and you can be duped by believing the things that people, that politicians especially, tell you. I wouldn't take what a politician says on face value ever in my life, and I would encourage you not to do the same. But the spiritual deception is the main issue, and it's a shame that from literally from the pulpit of so-called Christian churches, people are being led into damnation.
Well, as Peter described in his second epistle, there would be people who enter into the church like ravening wolves and introduce damnable heresies into the church. But we're at that time, ladies and gentlemen. Paul described in 2 Thessalonians 2 that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And we are in the midst of the apostasy. We're eyeballs deep in the Laodicean age, that lukewarm, rich church, which has need of nothing. A lot of these churches more like a country club than the Church of Jesus Christ. And so this should not be any surprise to born-again believing Christians. We're seeing exactly what you would expect to see at the end of the age, which is all manner of apostasy, doctrinal error, and outright heresy, Rob.
And that is a very... Well, you've been doing this radio thing a long time. That's a good segue into...
Over 14 years at this point.
A good segue into today's question, because I thought it was... I mean, we've answered the question before, but we have new listeners every week, so I just thought it was a good time to revisit it, and it did come in this week.
Sure.
You talked last week about the inner ring and the outer ring of the... people that are against Israel, the countries that are enemies of Israel,
correct,
and them all coming in at the same time. The question was, will Christians also turn against Jews, as some believe that Christians, quote, replace the Jews in biblical text, that any reference to Jews after the New Testament, I guess, it really refers to Christians rather than Jews, after Jesus was rejected by the Jews? I know the answer, but I want you to follow up with it.
Sure. Really what you're describing there, first of all, I would have to put Christians in quotations.
Right.
Because these are people who identify as Christians, but are not Christians. They are not born again, blood-bought children of the King. And so they may profess, but they don't possess the new life. So that said, what is being described here, there are two schools of heretical thought which have infected the church over the last number of decades. The first, and specifically on this point, is replacement theology. So there are people who teach that the church has replaced Israel as God's people. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. They have not replaced Israel. Israel is Israel. And God is going, those are his chosen people, Deuteronomy 7. And he has a plan for the Jewish people. He has always had a plan. And at the end, he will redeem them, as Paul describes in Romans 11, that all Israel be saved in a day, and so they shall. When Jesus Christ returns at the second coming, not at the rapture, but 7 years later, at the end of the time of Jacob's trouble. Notice that's Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. And his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is on the east. When they see him coming in the clouds of glory, they will understand that it was the carpenter's son, after all. And they'll look on him. The scripture in Zechariah 14 describes that they will look on him whom they have pierced, and they'll mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. So, no, the church has not replaced Israel. Then there's a second school of heresy called dominion theology. This asserts that somehow the church is going to conquer the world for Christ. Again.
You mean not like physically?
Say again?
Like physically conquer the
world. Yes, absolutely, right, yes. Which, okay, again, is also a lie to the pit of hell. Only Jesus Christ can establish peace. There will be no peace on this earth until the Son of God comes back and brings it. And so what we see today are these various schools introducing all manner of doctrinal error.
Well, that goes right back to what you were talking about in the very, very beginning of the program, is the deception coming from the pulpit and from other places.
Sure. And, of course, as Paul describes in 2 Thessalonians 2, at the end, God sends strong delusion that they might believe a lie.
Absolutely.
And we're seeing this in spades. Ladies and gentlemen, last week I ended the program discussing this notion of anti-Semitism sweeping the world, not just the United States, but the globe. And we were talking about how you have these lunatics out in the street who know nothing, carrying signs about free Palestine from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. All of that is moving toward the judgment of God. As I described, there's a smoking gun in Joel 3, 1 and 2. When they divide God's covenant land, it will trigger the judgment of God. And the scripture says there, they have divided up my land. The land has never been divided, not by the Assyrians, who conquered Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel in 721 BC, nor by the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar, who conquered Judah, the southern kingdom, in 586 BC. And of course, General Pompey of Rome marched in 4 BC. It was under Roman control at the time of Christ. Now, Palestine was a name coined by the Romans during biblical times for the region. There has never, ever been a state of Palestine. It's never existed. And will only exist briefly, I suspect, under the false peace of Antichrist. The dividing of the, it would be my exegesis based on scripture that the this two-state solution nonsense will be established under that false peace, which will also allow the rebuilding of the temple.
I don't see there's any way around that.
No, Antichrist, when Antichrist signs the false peace, that covenant described in Daniel 9, 27 says he confirms the covenant with the many for 1 week. That's 7 years, it's a sabbatical week, 7 years, 360 days each. And in the midst of the week, he puts a stop to offering and sacrifice. We know that the third temple has to be rebuilt. We're on the threshold. I have discussed this in the last month, Rob, hadn't we? We've
yes,
had that discussion.
Yes, we talked about the red heifers and all that,
right.
Yes.
And that red heifer sacrifice ceremony could take place on Passover at the end of this month. So we are seeing the signs of the times all around us. There are only two salient or significant pieces left in terms of building the temple physically, and that is the ashes of the red heifer used in ritual purification of priests, and of course the Ark of the Covenant. And I have a good friend who's a rabbi over there that tells me they know exactly where it is under Temple Mount.
Right.
That is protected by the power of God until it's time. But when, let me just explain. When that ark comes out, stand by for heavy roll.
Yeah, my understanding is that when the Jews went into battle, they used to carry the ark with them.
That's
because
right.
It was the power of God.
Oh, it leveled city. I mean, it dropped the walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
And through the power of God. So this two-state solution is a bad solution.
It's no solution.
It's no solution. It will trigger the judgment of God. And quite frankly, here's the punchline. That has never been an issue for the last 2,000 years. They were out of the land for 1,900 years.
Right.
In 1948, when Israel became a state, a nation again, on 14 May 1948, and Ben-Gurion declared independence, the UN, under Resolutions 241, 242, had already proposed a partitioning of Palestine. They would have had this two-state solution, but it was rejected out of hand by the Arab League.
And it's still being rejected
today.
Well, of
course, because they want it all, ladies and gentlemen. They want to drive God's people into the sea. But I can tell you this. They are barking up a tree. That dog is not going to hunt.
No.
Their problem is God Almighty, because Jeremiah 31 declares that the very elements themselves would change, the sun and the moon and the stars, before Israel ceases to be a nation before me forever. No power on earth can change it. And so they will stand against the world. That's why, as I described at the end of last week's episode, that the motivation for Zechariah 12 and 14 is being put into place right now. The motivation being hatred of God's people. In Zechariah 12, God declares, I'll bring all nations to battle against Jerusalem. I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, and all who lift it will be severely injured, though all the nations of the earth are gathered together against it. That's not some, that's all nations. And so, as I described, I was a detective before I was a chief. And so we connect ability, opportunity, and motive. Motive is probably the most critical component in your case.
Right. If you can figure out the motive, well, you can't explain figure out who it is.
That's right. Jury wants to know why. Yeah. If you can't explain a motive to a jury,
you've got a hard time.
You're going to have an uphill battle with prosecution or getting a conviction. So what I'm explaining to you is that motivation is sweeping the world. And one day will come to fruition as three unclean spirits like frogs, cross-reference Revelation 16, go out of the mouth of the dragon and the beast, the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they gather together the kings of the earth to a place which in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon. And 200 million screaming Chinamen and Asians will cross the dried up Euphrates River, marching into the valley of Jezreel, the valley of decision, as Joel describes it. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The Bible says that blood will flow bridle deep to a horse for 100 miles in the Jordan River Valley. You cannot get your mind around such things, ladies and gentlemen.
You
cannot understand the judgment of God which is about to fall. You better listen to this old preacher very carefully. The judgment of Almighty God is about to fall upon this world. When this hoedown begins, you do not want to be here, Rob.
Absolutely. And this is a pretty good time to take a break. We're up against a hard break anyway. This is World in Crisis with John Gasser. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gasser. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, from the studios of WJJC 1270 AM, Whispering951.com FM. You can get us worldwide 24 hours a day at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. But when you visit those internet websites, it's better to use a home computer or a laptop or something like that, because sometimes when you use a phone, you don't get the entire experience, I guess, of the World in Crisis webpage there. Now make sure you check that out. There's four or five of the more recent programs that are there if you'd listen to it at your leisure, plus some embedded programs that you definitely need to hear. And also, there's a place there for you to donate to the ministry if you choose. Now, remember this, not one penny of anything donated goes towards anything other than purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. There are no production costs. Nobody gets a salary. There's none of that stuff. Everything, every dime goes into purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. But also like to welcome my listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. Wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this world is, as I said, peering into the abyss. Now, this notion, I guess, Rob is about to get this whole Pentecostal preacher going now.
Yeah, you almost had a shouting moment there for a second.
Well, the Holy Ghost was all over me. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand. The clock is ticking. This hourglass is about to run out. And you have precious little time to make a decision. Now, Rob often says on this broadcast that making no decision is making one. He is precisely correct. Think about that tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. Nobody has a lease on it.
No.
You could drop dead by lunchtime, or right now, for that matter. So, please understand, this is profoundly serious, and you need to get in your Bible. You need to read God's Word. You need to understand that it's all true, every bit of it, from Genesis to Revelation. And everyone who has ever drawn breath will one day know it is true as well. So, to my end point in the last segment, this notion of land for peace only began with the Oslo Accords in 1993. That's where the notion of this Palestine, two-state solution, land for peace. As General Moshe Yalin told me one morning, all we've ever gotten is land for terror. They give up land, they get rockets in return. But that's no surprise, because Satan wants to do, if Satan could just destroy God's people, this is why the pogroms all through history against the Jews. If he could destroy the Jew, he could make God a liar and perhaps bring him to some sort of negotiation.
It's negotiated today.
That's right, and some sort of settlement. National Security Minister of Israel said recently, 1,400 murdered, and the world wants to give them a state. It won't happen here. The intention of the United States, together with the Arab states, to establish a terror state alongside the state of Israel is delusional and part of the misguided conception that there is a partner for peace on the other side. While we are in the government, no Palestinian state will be established. And, of course, that was echoed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu here recently.
Yes.
If the United States continues to push the division of Israel and a Palestinian capital, East Jerusalem, the U.S. will soon experience a response from God. Do you think? Because, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel 12:3 has never changed in 4,000 years. God made an unconditional promise to Abraham, no strings attached. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. It has never, ever changed. And all you have to do is study history to understand that. God will not tolerate persecution of his people for very long, and it will be the same here. That is why when the war of Gog and Magog, described in Ezekiel 38, occurs, that end-time invasion of Israel by Russia and the it's a Russian Pan-Arab alliance. See, the old Russian bear is going to get drawn south in the not-too-distant future. You can forget Ukraine. That'll be a blip on the radar screen. What will happen, my exegesis is this, and I dovetail this with trying to view the geopolitical situation in Central Theater from the eyes of a military officer. Israel is not going to allow Iran to gain a deliverable nuclear device that can target the state of Israel.
And no, so that'd be suicide.
No, of course. They know that. In fact, someone asked an Israeli general officer, do you still have the Masada complex today? And, of course, that's where most of them committed suicide rather than surrender to General Titus Vespasian and the 10th Legion at Masada. He said, no. He said, today we have the Samson complex. Well, Samson took his enemies with him.
Right.
He toppled the Temple of Dagon. And, by the way, interestingly, of course, no coincidence, where do you think the Temple of Dagon was located? It was in the Gaza Strip. That was ancient Philistia. That was the land of the Philistines, God's sworn enemies against his people.
To give people an idea, David and Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine.
Yes, and so were his brothers. He got 5 stones out of the creek, one.
Yeah, he wasn't intending to fight just one of them.
No, he was going to kill them all.
That's right.
And, of course, Goliath was also Nephilim. The Bible explicitly states he had red hair. He had 6 fingers and toes. That is one of the calling cards of someone who...
Absolutely right.
Yes, in that day. Now, some of that may have evolved because it would be my exegesis, the infection never left the earth.
Right.
And likely still exists on this globe. So, on 16 February, looking at persecution of Christians concerning... according to the International Society for Civil Liberties and Rule of Law, more than 8,000 Christians were killed in Nigeria, which is a Muslim nation, in 2023.
That doesn't shock me at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, persecution is going on all over this world. And I would encourage you to check out...
The thing about it, John, I'm sorry to interrupt, thing about it is the persecution of Christians has become so commonplace that it is no longer a headline.
Right.
A few years back when they cut off the heads of, 20, 25 Christians right there next to the Mediterranean.
Yeah, that was
Libya. Was front page news. But right. it they just like it's just stopped. No, it didn't stop. It's worse. But well, they just nobody tells you about it anymore.
Well, just go to Voice of the Martyrs. They track this all over the world on a continuing basis, and I think you would be shocked to understand how many what is actually going on
right.
in the world as it relates to the persecution of Christians. The church is being set up for persecution in this country, for goodness sake.
Oh, shoot, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, there is a... Apparently, the Biden administration is planning to control the employment decisions of faith groups. You'll probably want to stick around for that discussion, and that may be next week. In any event, so we are looking at a spiritual free fall, not only in this country, but around the world. It was reported recently that about 15 February, that George Soros has bought 40% of the stock in the second largest radio broadcast company in America, 220 stations. And some pundits are already concerned he'll use that to spread anti-American police. And
he
so
will.
Forth. And of course he will. Let me be more specific. Lies. That's what's going on. And propaganda. Propaganda, of course, is underpinned by lies. concerning this continuing decline and persecution, Pastor Jack Hibbs, I think a lot of you may know him, pastor at Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills, California, was recently invited to deliver the invocation at the session of Congress. And of course, since he invoked Jesus' name, a coalition of Democrats led by some atheist fool named Jared Huffman sent a letter to Speaker Johnson expressing outrage of the congressional members over his prayer. They complained that Hibbs is a radical Christian nationalist who helped fuel the January 6th insurrection.
Oh, my Lord.
Is utter nonsense. There were, I discovered during some recent research that it seemed like there were about 200 law enforcement and intelligence assets at the January 6th protest.
Right. And they didn't do anything about it.
Right. Well, called agent provocateurs. They helped encourage this business. The definition of entrapment, ladies and gentlemen, the legal definition of entrapment is where the idea of the crime originates with a government
right.
officer or agent.
You entice somebody to do something they would not normally have done on their own.
Precisely correct. That's right. So in any event, you can see where Washington, D.C., I told my wife not long ago, I suspect when the trumpet blows, not more than about 5% of folks inside the Beltway would vanish.
I think you're being generous.
Possibly so. In any event...
Did you see, John, it's been all over the news the last few days. They had this big rally in Dearborn, Michigan, where they were yelling, "Death to America and death to Israel," on the streets of the United States, and the government did not consider that to be hate speech. But if you say Jesus in Congress... That's some kind of inciting some kind of a riot or something. So crazy. The world's just gone completely topsy-turvy.
Well, you would expect such madness at the end of the age. As a matter of fact, I think about a month ago in my introductory remarks here on World in Crisis, I said the world is devolving into madness.
And that is exactly correct.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is. Now, let me go back and connect the dot. I was talking about the War of Gog and Magog. The triggering event, in my professional judgment, and actually it's a spiritual assessment as well, the triggering event will be when Israel has to launch an attack to neutralize the Iranian reactor facilities and to destroy their nuclear weapons building capability.
Right.
That will also kill a bunch of Russians in the process, ladies and gentlemen. Now, they just launched, 2 weeks ago, launched an attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus, Syria. That we are moving perilously close to that end-time confrontation but with this Russian pan-Arab alliance, which would include Russia, Persia, which is modern Iran, Turkey, with a fundamentalist government, Syria, all that, it's a rogue's gallery that attacks Israel. just one problem for them, God Almighty, because only 16% survived that invasion.
Well, you talked previously, you've spoken about Damascus being leveled and it being the oldest continuously inhabited city on the planet of the earth.
Correct, correct.
That leads me just, you know, speculation on my part, complete speculation, but if the Iranians had a nuclear base in Damascus, what do you think the Israelis are going to do about it?
Probably put a tactical nuke on Damascus.
Exactly, which would level Damascus.
Yeah, that's a tactical nuke is in the 1 to 3 kiloton range.
Right.
So
a mile or so.
Yeah. Well, yes. And so Isaiah 17:1 actually articulates an obscure prophecy. The oracle of the Lord concerning Damascus. Damascus will be left a heap of ruins. And so it will. But that destruction is yet future. So we are still awaiting that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this old preacher, what it's not hard to connect the dots.
No.
The events are both converging and accelerating at the same time. These prophetic events, these are not events which are going to happen. They're happening right before your eyes. And so we are on a very slippery slope. And as Rob mentioned earlier, we're not political pundits. The only interest I have in politics and within that context, what is discussed on this radio ministry is within the context of moving toward a one world political, one world economic, and one world religious system,
right,
which will be the kingdom of Antichrist. For our new listeners, this notion of a new world order, the new world order is simply a metaphor for the kingdom of Antichrist. And they cannot bring this to fruition until the church is removed from this world and the Holy Ghost is taken out of the way, his restraint is taken out of the way. The Holy Ghost indwells the church. When the church goes, simultaneously, the restraint of the Holy Ghost will be removed and hell will be coming to breakfast, Rob.
Absolutely, and you don't want to be there for that.
No.
And you don't have to be, because Jesus Christ is the way out.
Correct.
But there's only one way, not right. Multiple ways. You talk about the one world religion, John. I just saw a headline this morning. I hadn't had a chance to read the whole article, but it was a summit, I guess, of all the major religions in the world coming together and figuring out how to offer an olive branch to transgenders.
What?
Yes. What? To welcome all transgender people into the various religions. There's a summit going on right now. It's got all the major religions involved. Now, I don't know what level, but like I said, I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline. But they're having a summit so that they can basically invite all transgender people into their religious circle.
So what you're actually describing is a summit to help articulate some of the foundational underpinning for the false religious system.
Absolutely.
Which will center in Rome.
Absolutely. If they find one thing to agree on, then maybe they can agree on a lot of things.
Correct. So that should be no surprise that, listen, let me see if I can put some more context in as it relates vis-a-vis to the false religious system. We're looking at a revival of the old Roman Empire, which will be much bigger and meaner than its predecessor. You cannot isolate the beast kingdom to 10 nations in Western Europe. Western Europe couldn't fight its way out of a wet paper sack. The United States, and you can quote me, will be the military and intelligence underpinning of the beast kingdom. My exegesis is that the political and economic center of the beast kingdom will be New York City, New Babylon. In fact, it was called Babylon at one point in time.
At one point, yep.
But in any event, this is that commercial Babylon which controls the political and economic policies and so forth. On Earth, it is a one-world system. And, of course, if you go back and listen to some previous efforts, we spent about a month talking about central bank digital currency and injectable microchips.
All that stuff should scare the life out of you.
Right, as global digital ID. It's just like reading the 13th chapter of Revelation. Now, concerning deceit, just in February, the U.S. Government Accountability Office said that America's economy is on an unsustainable fiscal path, we are spending way more than we take in.
I mean, it's like double every year. Every year,
well,
double.
And now, yeah, every year now. So accounting problems in several departments are unreliable. The GAO was unable to properly evaluate the financial reliability of the federal government. That's because it has no reliability. And what I would tell you is that this is, see, what's happening before your eyes is that the dominoes are being set in place.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as I have declared many times on this radio ministry here, and just in the last 6 months or to a year, this hoedown cannot begin. They cannot bring the New World Order to fruition outside of the predeterminate will of God. They cannot do it. It's his call, not Satan's call. It's not the Antichrist call. It's not the global elite. It's not that Nazi Klaus Schwab or that those fools over at the World Economic Forum. It's not their call. And so right now, the Holy Ghost indwelling the church and with his restraint across the globe is withholding the worst of the evil. Now, when the trumpet blows, stand by. As I said, hell will be coming to breakfast, and it will. But this is what I've just described is a clue to one of the dominoes. What would that be, preacher? It would be the third seal of Revelation, beloved. What is the third seal of Revelation? Well, John saw an angel flying through the midst of heaven with a scale, a measure of wheat for denarius, you see, and two quarts of barley for denarius. The denarius was the average day's wage for a blue-collar employee, somebody driving a delivery truck and that sort of thing. The specific interpretation is a loaf of bread for a day's wage. It will take everything that individual makes in a day to feed them for a day. Now, I was a Terry College of Business graduate from the University of Georgia. What they would tell you there is what is described as hyperinflation. It's sort of like Germany before the start of World War II under the old Weimar Republic.
Right.
It took a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread. In fact, there's an anecdote there. Apparently some lady went to the store and actually had a wheelbarrow full of money. And she goes into the store to try to see what they had. She came back out. Somebody had dumped the money on the doorstep and stolen the wheelbarrow because it was more valuable than the currency.
Absolutely.
If that will give you some sort of perspective.
So, I mentioned this to you. You talk about a day's wage for to feed you.
A loaf
just the other day, I was at the gas station getting gas, and there was a sign up there that said employment opportunity inside, daily pay.
Daily pay.
Not you don't have to. I mean, I'm gonna get a check on Friday. You get paid every day.
Right. Well, and of course we discussed this frightening business of implantable brain chips and so forth, Rob.
Yes.
Elon Musk, and they have successfully implanted a chip in an individual. I think this was also in February of this year. Musk said that the patient had made a full recovery and seems to have no ill effects. However, and they can control a computer mouse with their mind, but the system can read the person's intended movements and thoughts. So if the direction or the transmission can go one way, don't you think it could go the other as well, Rob? That the person would be, the transmission could go both ways. In other words, they could implant thoughts into your mind as well as you direct the movement of a computer mouse.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question, ladies and gentlemen, are you rapture ready? And I know we're up against a hard
That's the only question that needs to be answered, and only you can answer that question. This is World in Crisis with John Gassert. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to the third and final segment of this week's edition of World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We come to you from Commerce, Georgia. We're in the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM and WJJC 1270 AM. You also get us worldwide 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. Wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the last segment, came up a little short in terms of connecting a couple of dots. One of the points I wanted to emphasize was in this revived Roman Empire, which will be more closely defined by NATO, there are only three geopolitical spheres of influence on the end-time world stage. There's the West under Antichrist, which will control the world. There is this Russian Pan-Arab alliance, which is neutralized on the mountains of Israel in the War of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38. And then, finally, the kings, plural, of the East, China and its hegemony, of course, over Southeast Asia and Asia.
And they're every day they're expanding their influence, the Chinese,
yes,
I mean.
That is correct. But the point was this. In ancient Rome, they did not care what you worshipped. You could worship a rock or a stick or an idol. They did not care as long as you offered a pinch of incense to acknowledge the deity of Caesar. Likewise, under the kingdom of Antichrist, they won't give a hoot in the infernal regions what you worship as long as you acknowledge the deity of Antichrist. You got that? Now, Rob, pick this up a second. I need to turn to Revelation.
All right, we can do that. Yeah, talking about the worshiping the deity of Antichrist. And when you do that, once you utter those words,
you're done.
It's done for you. And I can't imagine. They talk about the end time saints, and you know, there being some that will be martyred for their Christian beliefs after the rapture. But I can't imagine that'll be a whole lot, because somebody offers to you a good life and free food and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or I'm going to cut off your head. Which one are you going to take?
Right. Well, however, apparently Revelation 7 says there will be a multitude no man can count who will be saved. But we don't know what that number is.
No, we don't know what a multitude is.
Right. Now, I'm in Revelation 13, and I'm going to begin at verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, the Antichrist, and the dragon, of course, is Satan. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is likened to the beast, and who can make war with him? Right. Clearly, the rhetorical answer is no one on this earth. And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. Now, this would be the second half.
42 months.
That's very specific. Say again?
That's very specific.
Yes, it's the second half of the tribulation, 1260 days. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. That would be us, ladies and gentlemen, those who are saved. The church will not be here. The church will be in heaven, because Jesus Christ will call his church out of this world before the judgment of God falls. Listen very carefully. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. Now notice it's not called the church. They're tribulation saints. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every nation and tribe and people and tongue was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. I suggest you take that into account very carefully, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Those words from the word of the living God. This world will worship Antichrist. He will take his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. My exegesis is he'll park his rear end on the mercy seat of God on the Ark of the Covenant. Preacher, you're crazy.
He's going to kill him.
Huh?
He's going to kill him.
Yeah, kill him. This is not a normal man. First of all, he's possessed by Satan himself. As Luke 22:3 describes that Satan entered into Judas, so will he enter into Antichrist. Number two, I have strong evidence that this man will be infected with the Nephilim gene. He's not normal. He will also sustain what should be a mortal wound to the head and miraculously recovers. Now, the poster child for this would be Bobby Kennedy. Small caliber round behind the ear. Kennedy died. This man will not. They will declare it a mortal wound, but he will
He'll survive it, even though it's declared deadly.
Yes. that he should die, but he doesn't die. And God, just like when God wanted to wait on the evil of the Amalekites and so forth, was not full. This will bring to full fruition human evil on this earth. It's called the abomination of desolation, something that has never occurred in human history nor ever shall occur again. The closest thing to it, the type, is Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a type of Antichrist in Daniel 11, who offered a pig in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a close, but that doesn't touch the abomination of desolation when Antichrist declares himself to be God in the temple. Now, how are they practically, how are they putting these pieces in place in order to establish this new world order? Next week, I have a piece talking about postmodernism and how, excuse me, how that is infecting the church and causing a lot of misunderstanding, and people are introducing confusion and heresy into the church. Just like you were talking about, they wanted to somehow normalize the transgender.
Right, right, okay. Yeah.
That type of thing. But you have to have practical application. Well, I'm holding in my non-nicotine-stained hands a summary of Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. Now, this was one of Hillary Clinton's favorite pieces. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And the book was dedicated to Satan.
Well, and that's precisely my point. He dedicated his book to Lucifer, the first radical. So how are they planning to implement or put in these dominoes into place such that after the rapture, this thing can metamorphose virtually overnight? So there are 8 levels of control that have to be obtained according to Alinsky. The first one is most important. Health care. Control health care and you control the people. That is true to a large extent. The so-called Obamacare was not about your care, it was about eugenics. They wanted to ensure that you die in a timely manner.
Yes.
You see.
Death panels.
Do you remember we talked about useless eaters?
Oh, yeah.
And by the way,
the Germans did a good job of getting rid of what they considered useless eaters.
Yes, they did. Last week's episode, the last 2 episodes maybe, I have encouraged our listeners to study the history of 1930s Germany.
Yes.
If you want to see a template for what is unfolding before your eyes. Control health care. Number 2, poverty. Increase poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you provide everything for them to live, or just enough for them
right.
to live. They want to keep you on the Democrat plantation,
yes.
you see, or the elitist plantation, if you will, and give you just enough to get by. Number 3, debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. Now, 2 and 3 are kind of dovetail with a concept by 2 communist professors back in the 50s, Cloward and Piven. Their theory was to overload the system, that is the capitalist
system. So it collapses.
To collapse it, mm-hmm. and then you could resurrect this Marxist utopia.
Yeah.
Which is actually a system of absolute totalitarian control, precisely what occurs under Antichrist. And as I have said, that Marxist socialism will be both the political and philosophical, the ideological underpinning of the beast kingdom, because it gives you the model for ruling elite and everybody else. Number 4, gun control. Absolutely. Remove the ability for people to defend themselves from the government. The Second Amendment had nothing to do with hunting ducks.
Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Second Amendment has to do with liberty. It has to do with preventing tyranny, and has been one of the last secular obstacles to a totalitarian system here until this day. 5, welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Number 6, education. Take control of what people read and listen to, particularly take control of what the children learn in school.
Absolutely.
Hitler said, give me one generation. That's all he needed.
Yep.
One generation.
And he's had that.
Lincoln said that what's taught in the school today will be the political philosophy of the next generation.
Yep.
And if it's socialism, that's what they will
that's
adhere.
That's what you'll get.
And that's what they are espousing.
Yes,
coming
sir.
Out of these so-called Ivy League cesspools, which are little more than indoctrination centers for Marxist socialism. Number seven, religion. Remove the belief in God from government schools. Get your children out of government schools.
1960 or so when they did that.
Say again?
It was in the 60s when they took God out of school.
Well, it started when they banned prayer.
Yeah.
When I was in school, we had prayer. We said the Pledge of Allegiance. It was a very different day.
And you had a moment of silence, or you prayed,
that's
or whatever?
Correct. Yeah. But I was privileged to live through the tail end of Norman Rockwell's America, and I cherish it. Number eight, class warfare. The concept is military, really, divide and conquer. Divide the people into wealthy and poor, straight and gay, rich. You just
doesn't
pick
matter.
Your poison. It doesn't
one against
matter.
The other. Just pit one against the other. Doesn't matter.
Divide and conquer. Now, when we have the discussion next week about postmodernism, we're going to review this New World Order agenda of 2030 mission goals, sustainable development goals, because it dovetails with this New World Order business that they want to implement and establish global government. Remember this term, global governance, a one world political, one world economic, and one world religious system under Antichrist. He's wiggling and squirming over there, so I suppose that means final thoughts.
It is. It's time.
All righty. Mine tonight come from the Gospel of John in the 11th chapter. Jesus was sent a message that Lazarus was sick. He stayed where he was. Two more days before he went to Bethany. And so he told them that Lazarus has fallen asleep, which is the word term for Christian death. He knew that Lazarus would die. And I'm going to pick this up in verse 20. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary still sat in the house. Martha, therefore, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. The Greek here is I me. I am the resurrection and the life. I me is denotes a continuous state of existence without beginning and without end. This is the defining question of history. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Peter, Who do you say that I am? It is individual. It is not collective. He is the Son of God. He is the only way to eternal life. And I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you would receive the Lord Jesus into your heart so as to be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity. May the Lord richly bless you.
And for John Gassett, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.